So much about life is gravely serious. And unless we make deliberate attempts to fight it, we can become sour and grim, even uptight and cynical. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll presents his first message in our study of Philippians, and the series is called Laugh Again. It's possible you're in need of a dispositional makeover today. Perhaps you're consumed by something that's deeply disturbing, and nothing you've tried seems to bring back your smile. We believe that Philippians provides the pathway back to joy. Chuck titled today's message, Your Smile Increases Your Face Value.
Chances are good if you live your life under the grim hand of frightened fate. You are focusing on the way you were or on what might be. You are not choosing joy through the living Christ now, and I want to encourage you to do that. See how he puts it in chapter 3, verse 1? Rejoice in the Lord. Look at chapter 4, verse 10. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked a way to show it. You lacked an opportunity. Chapter 4, chapter 3, chapter 2, chapter 1, running over with joy, rejoicing. Who wrote a letter like this? Well, back to chapter 1, verse 1, he tells us, in ancient days, they wrote first the one who wrote the letter. It's an accepted fact that it's Paul, and alongside Paul is his long-standing friend, Timothy. What kind of people received a letter like this? Well, look back at verse 1, chapter 1. You'll see for yourself. To all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi. Go back to chapter 3, verse 2. He wrote to warn them, watch out for the dogs. It was a synonym for people who were after you in your faith, people who were to tear you down. Beware of the dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of those who are of the false circumcision. He says they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, whose glory is in their shame. They set their minds on earthly things. He's warning them. In all of his joy, he's warning them. One other reason he writes is to encourage them. Chapter 1, verse 27. Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I may hear that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, in no way alarmed by your opponents. That wonderful message. Three reasons he wrote the letter. To thank him, to warn him, to encourage him. Now, when you read through this letter, you sort of get the flow of joy coming out over and over again. I want to show you on the back of my outline a chart. This is my chart. I had fun putting that chart together. It is not inspired, but it is right. No, I'm just teasing. You may wish to disagree with that chart of the book of Philippians, and that's fine. A lot of folks choose to be wrong in life, and you got to make decisions for yourself. You do your own study of Philippians, and you write your own chart. But until then, take my word for it. Chapter 1 talks about joy in living. When we don't get what we want or when we do, in spite of our circumstances or when circumstances are great, even with conflicts, we can live with joy. You know why? Because in Philippians 1:21, Paul tells us the secret of his joy. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What would you put in place of Christ if you were filling out your epitaph? For me to live is... What would you put there? What would go in that blank? I'm going to give you a tip. If it reads as Paul's statement reads, you won't ever lack for joy. It's amazing what the presence of Christ does to your joy life. When you choose joy, you choose Christ. And when you choose Christ as the object of living, you choose joy as well. Jesus himself said in John 15, 11, that you can have a joy that is abundant if you choose the joy that he offers. Joy in living comes with that kind of motto, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Chapter 2 is a joy in serving. By the way, if you're into serving, if you're looking for some good biblical basis for a servant spirit, chapter 2 is for you. The greatest illustration of Jesus leaving heaven, coming to this earth in joy is in Philippians chapter 2. Look at verse 5. We'll get to this later in our study, but I can't wait until then for just a comment. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. What attitude? Well, the previous verse, verse 4 of chapter 2. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have that attitude and pattern it after Christ. And what does it say of him? Although he existed in the form of God, that's before Bethlehem, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, that's Bethlehem, being made in the likeness of men, that's the birth of the Christ child, being found in appearance as a man, there's Jesus growing in favor with God and man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. There's the suffering Savior who took our place at Calvary. You know, when he left heaven, he didn't grit his teeth and say to God, okay, I'll go. He left heaven for the joy that was set before him. He focused on us. He saw transformed lives. He saw sin beaten at the cross. He saw Satan doomed. And in light of his coming from heaven to earth, he came with a smile. He lived with a smile. And he died in the agony of the cross in his heart with a smile. And God, satisfied with the death and resurrection of his son, said, "It is well done, my beloved son." So that today we have a living Savior who served the cause of the Heavenly Father in coming to us on this earth. See the chapter? Starts with the right attitude. It's maintained through right theology. And serving is encouraged by right models. When we get to chapter 2, we'll study Timothy and Epaphroditus, two names that mean very little to most Christians, but they are wonderful models to follow. Chapter 3, there's joy in sharing. He shares a warning. He shares a part of his testimony found nowhere else in Scripture. He shares a goal for living. You wonder about a goal for life. Look at 3, verse 14. Take 13 with it. I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's what keeps me going. The Phillips paraphrase says, I go straight for the goal. When I wake up in the morning, I smile at the sunrise. When I rest in the evening, I do not fear the darkness. My goal is the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I had a funeral service this past week, and in this funeral service for this 45-year young woman, I had the pleasure of announcing to people who were there that the reason this family can go on is that this person has been called to an upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Not even death brings the grim sense of blind fate. Even in death, there is gain. What a goal. What a thing to share. And there's joy in resting. Chapter 4 will give you a contentment like you can't believe. I love verses like like 10 and following of chapter 4. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want. Don't you love it that he doesn't play on their emotions to raise funds? Because I'm not telling you how miserable life has been for me. I'm not coming at you from a position of want. I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. Now look closely. I know how to get along with humble means, and we expect that. And I know how to live in prosperity, and we don't expect that. Isn't that interesting? We expect Paul to be existing under a bridge, singing great songs. But we don't think of him in the penthouse, kicking back, saying, hey, I was made for this. I can enjoy life. With prosperity, there often comes guilt. I've never been able to understand that. Why can't God bless as well as remove blessing? Why can't God give as well as take? He can. And with it can come contentment if your heart is right. If there's joy, Paul says, I have learned in whatever circumstances. I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry. I've learned having abundance and of suffering need. How? I can do all things through him who keeps on pouring his power into me. I think some people hear this message and they think, well, if I were just richer, or if I were more beautiful or handsome, if I had more talent, then Chuck, I could latch on to these things you're saying. And no, you listen to this. You listen. A person wrote it this way: the happiest people are rarely the richest or the most beautiful or even the most talented. Happy people do not depend on excitement and fun supplied by externals. They enjoy the fundamental, often very simple things of life. They waste no time thinking other pastures are greener. They do not yearn for yesterday or tomorrow. They savor the moment. Glad to be alive, enjoying their work, their families, the good things around them. They are adaptable. They can bend with the wind, adjust to the changes in their times. They can enjoy the contests of life. Their eyes are turned outward. They are aware, compassionate. They have the capacity to love. Isn't that a wonderful way to live? Isn't that the way to go down in history? That leads to a person that makes you smile. And right out of this letter comes that possibility. Smiling at whatever life brings. Let me give you three or four lasting principles, can I? One from each of these four chapters, and then we're through. Scout's honor finally means finally. Number one, for living joy, I need the best model. We've already met him. His name is Christ. For living joy, I need the best model. All other models will let me down. All other models will fade and fail. Never Christ. For living joy, chapter 1, I need the best model. For serving with joy, chapter 2, I need the right attitude. And again, I learned that from the Savior. For serving with joy, I need the right attitude. Chapter 3 is sharing. For sharing life, a life of joy, I need an eternal goal. That's the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. For sharing a life of joy, I need an eternal model, an eternal goal. And that's the coming of the Savior, the removal from this earth and all its toil to heaven and all its rewards. And a focus on that will absolutely transform my sharing. Fourth, from chapter 4, for resting in joy, I need God's peace. I need God's peace. And he describes that so beautifully in chapter 4. Jesus said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Now listen to me. I've been thinking about this all week long. Joy is a choice. Jesus said, I've spoken my words to you that my joy may be in you. Maybe. It's your choice. And that your joy may be full. So if you knew what I was living with, you would qualify that. Wait a minute. Wait. Came across a true story in my preparation for this message that really puts the stop to any excuse. It's the story of an 82-year-old pastor who for some 52 years ministered the scriptures. And now he found himself struggling with skin cancer. It was so bad that he had already had 15 skin operations. Besides suffering from the pain, he was so embarrassed about how the cancer had scarred his appearance, he wouldn't even go out anymore. He became a recluse. Then one day he was given a book in which he was told of this other person who had gone through an intense time of pain, and that he had chosen joy in place of the harsh reality of his circumstance. And he told of the day when he realized that he would have that pain forever. And at that moment, that person in the book made a pivotal decision. He made a decision to choose joy rather than a grim, frowning future. After reading a while, the elderly pastor put the book aside and said, "He's crazy. I can't just choose joy." He gave up on the idea. Then a little later on, he came across John 15:11. Where Jesus said, "I want to give you my joy so that yours may be complete." A gift, he thought. It's a gift. He didn't know what to do, so he got down on his knees. Didn't know what to say, so he said to the Lord, "Well then, Lord, give it to me." Suddenly, as he described it, this incredible hunk of joy came from heaven and just poured over him. "I was overwhelmed," he said. "It was like the joy talked about in Peter, a joy unspeakable and full of glory. I didn't know what to say, so I said, 'Turn it on, Lord. Turn it on.'" And before he knew it, he was dancing around his house. He felt so joyful, he actually felt born again, as he put it. And this astonishing change happened at age 82. He just had to get out. So much joy couldn't stay cooped up. So he went out to the local fast food restaurant, and he got a hamburger. And the lady that waited on him saw how happy he was and asked, "How are you doing?" "Oh," he said, I'm wonderful." "Oh, really? Is it your birthday?" No, he said. "Honey, it's better than that. Is it your anniversary?" "Oh, it's better than that." "Well, what is it?" she asked. "It's the joy of Jesus Christ. Do you know what I'm talking about?" The lady shrugged and answered, No, I have to work on Sundays." Is that awful or what? But isn't that the way it is? What does working on Sunday have to do with joy? Incredible how we have linked joy to church, or joy to a day in the week, or to a religious experience. Joy is meant for 365 days a year. Joy is meant for life. My plea for you as we get into this letter is that you choose it. And my warning is that nobody else can choose it for you. You live with the attitude you choose. Jesus has the one worth living for. He died for it. May we bow together, please. Very briefly now, I realize I speak today to a few very grim people. Maybe not most of you, but I think some of you. You're grim because you focused on how brutal and bitter life has been. You're trying to excuse what you've heard because of the hand you've been dealt, or whatever other word you use for it. I want to warn you. that will lead you to a miserable future and a dreadful present existence. Jesus came that you might have a life that's abundant, sins forgiven. Yes, there will be hardship and heartaches and calamities and surprises, losses and failures. But you've got a Savior who'll give you a goal that's greater than any of that. When he died with you in mind. When he paid the price, he paid it in full. And he says to you, in effect, take me. Choose my forgiveness. Choose my life. I'll give it to you in abundance. And it will make your existence bearable and your future glorious. Father, hear our prayer today as we come to you, a people with needs and every human reason to believe the news and to focus our attention on the newscasts. Forgive us, our Father, for such wasted times when we cause that focus to become our reason for existence. Forgive us for choosing a downhearted spirit rather than joy. For being so consumed with past failure or future worries that our present is eclipsed with a sadness that has no place in the Christian life. Thank you for a man who, though imprisoned, wrote of joy. And may we find the liberty of which he writes as we not only read, but believe and apply what he wrote. In the name of Jesus Christ, the constant source of life, joy, and forgiveness, we pray. And everybody said, amen.
Well, we're off to a good start in our study of Philippians, and we have a lot to look forward to over the next several weeks as we enjoy this comprehensive 14-part series Chuck Swindoll has titled Laugh Again, Experience Outrageous Joy. To learn more about this ministry, visit us at insightworld.org. You may have heard Insight for Living Ministries is coming up on another milestone. In July, we'll celebrate 40 years of ministry, and in Canada, it'll be 35 years. You know, Chuck, that's quite an achievement, and we've never missed a single day since program number one aired the first Monday in July of 1979.
That's right, Dave. We're reaching another milestone. In July, Insight for Living will be celebrating 40 years of God's faithfulness. Isn't that amazing? From its inception back in 1979, this Bible teaching program has served at the will of our listening audience. In fact, the sound of my voice would never leave the walls of the church where I preach every Sunday morning were it not for the collective generosity of people like you. In that sense, nothing has changed in 40 years. You see, God is the one who transforms lives. But he has divinely chosen to use people. People just like you and me to partner with him and to do so by giving generously. The cost of our daily programs on radio and all the other resources we freely provide to our listening family are completely covered by the voluntary donations of grateful listeners. And so today, I am boldly inviting you to celebrate God's faithfulness over 40 years by sending a most generous gift in support of Insight for Living Ministries. Our desire is to close our financial books on June the 30th with all our expenses for this 39th year completely covered. I'm forthright in soliciting your help because I know that God will use your contribution to touch some unsuspecting person who comes our way and hears the truth of his word. That's been our experience now for 40 years. We've heard from countless thousands who have told their personal stories of life change as the result of something they've heard on our Insight for Living outreach. As we reach this milestone of four decades together, please pick up the phone or, if you prefer, go online or write a letter today. Let me know through your generous gift that you're stepping into the future with us. I look forward to hearing from you very soon, and certainly before the 30th of June. That's our deadline, remember? Thanks so much.
Choose from a variety of methods for responding to Chuck Swindoll. If you prefer to pick up the phone and give us a call, and if you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. You can give a much-needed donation online at insight.org. And if you're listening in the United States, you can also make a connection with us by texting the word INSIGHT to this number, 555-888. That's 555-888. We're grateful for your gift of any amount, and your contributions are channeled directly into making a life-changing impact on those who hear Insight for Living. And once again, that phone number, 1-800-772-8888, or give online at insight.org. I'm Dave Spiker. When the storms of life rage on, how are you supposed to find joy? Chuck Swindoll answers that question Tuesday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, "Your Smile Increases Your Face Value," was copyrighted in 1990, 1992, 1999, 2008, and 2019. And the sound recording was copyrighted in 2019 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.